May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace in abundance. Amen. Mission Praise number 151 is our song of praise this morning, Majesty. Our scripture reading will be from the second letter to Timothy, chapter 1. I will be reading from the Good News Bible this morning, today's English version. I thought that we have a big variety of Afrikaans translations, and then I realized that I think you are ahead of us with English translations. I wonder what translation you use as your usual go-to Bible. But I'll be reading from this new English this morning. Before we read, let us join in prayer. Our Father in heaven, when we come before you this morning, it is with joyful hearts. You've been good to us. We have experienced your grace in abundance. We rejoice with Gijs, who survived 14 stabs this past week. Thank you for his spared life. We pray for one another this morning. As we sit here, you know each and every one of us. You know the mountains that terrifies us at the moment in our lives. Thank you that we may find help and solace from you alone. We pray for those who are ill, who are troubled for whatever reason. May they experience your blessed fellowship in a very special way. We pray for the aged, Ronnie, Pam, Bunty, Cynthia, Jimmy and Sheena, Margriet and Helene, Sariet, Piet and Rita, Herman, Mara, Valerie. May they be aware of your presence through your Spirit. Thank you for for their testimony to your love and your tender care, also in old age and in frailty. Father, we pray for Dries and the church council. Grant them wisdom in leading this community of faith as a beacon of light, the light of the kingdom in the darkness of the city center. We pray for our country. At the beginning of a new rainy season, we look unto you and pray that you will bless us, not according to what we deserve, but according to your grace and your abundance. We think of the communities in the north, Etosha and north of it, that was ravaged by fire the past week. Please be with them, Father. May your abundant rain come and replenish the scorched earth. We are gathered here this morning to meet with you. We will meet through Scripture, where you speak to us. And therefore, we now pray, Father, that you will hear us when we join in a song of prayer as we ask you to open our eyes, Lord, because we want to see Jesus. Hear us as we sing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, sent to proclaim the promised life which we have in union with Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, may God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. I thank him as I remember you always in my prayers, night and day. I remember your tears, and I want to see you very much, so that I may be filled with joy. I remember the sincere faith you have, the kind of faith that your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice also had. I'm sure that you have it also. For this reason, I remind you to keep alive the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For the spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. Do not be ashamed then of witnessing for our Lord. Be ashamed of me, a prisoner for Christ's sake. Instead, take your part in suffering for the good news as God gives you the strength to do it. He saved us and called us to be His own people, not because of what we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. He gave us this grace by means of Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now it has been revealed to us through the coming of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He has ended the power of death and through the gospel has revealed immortal life. God has appointed me as an apostle and teacher to proclaim the good news, and it is for this reason that I suffer these things. But I am still full of confidence, because I know whom I have trusted, and I'm sure that He is able to keep safe until that day what He has entrusted to us. Hold firmly to the true words that I taught you as the example for you to follow, and remain in the faith and love that are ours in union with Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, keep the good things that have been entrusted to you. Thus far our scripture reading. I learned about an American theologian, Howard Thurman. He said, there are two questions that we have to ask ourselves in life. The first is, where am I going? And the second is, who will go with me? If you ever get these questions in the wrong order, you are in trouble, he says. The two questions of life. Life, a journey of direction and companionship. If we ponder Thurman's wisdom a bit, should you care more about who goes with you on your journey, you risk compromise. On the other hand, should you be very sure of your destination, but you don't pick your fellow travelers with care, you risk isolation. I believe that in this mentoring letter that Paul writes his protege, Timothy, he gives both. He shows the destination, which is following Jesus, keeping the good news of Jesus intact, keeping alive the calling that God gave you, that is the direction. And the companions, they are your spiritual heritage and the Spirit. We are, friends, empowered by our heritage. That is the story of the covenant. Paul recalls Timothy's ancestral faith, his grandmother Louise, and his mother Eunice. This is second generation believers. Paul himself was a first generation believer. His experience on the Damascus Road happened when he was an adult. He grew up in the Jewish faith. And the wonderful news of Jesus Christ only became clear to him as an adult. But Timothy had the privilege that there was a believing grandma and a believing mother. It seems that faith isn't something that we invent. Apart from the fact that faith is something that is given to us by God, it is handed down like seed. I find the spring of 2025 to be exceptional after the good rainy season of last year. All the blossoms, the apis doring, I haven't seen vintage apis dorings blooming like this year. It's spectacular. Giving seed for the next season and the seasons to come. Hebrews 12 speaks to our cloud of witnesses that include our biological and our spiritual ancestors. Not all of us have the privilege to have biological ancestors in the faith. Some of us maybe also grew up in a house that didn't know the Lord. And along the line, we've been graced by God, and He revealed His good news to us. But we all have some spiritual ancestors, be it a dominie, be it a teacher, be it a friend, whoever it is, and their lives testify to God's faithfulness and the imperfect people. However we may be imperfect, God is the faithful one. We are really empowered by our heritage. And therefore, I would like you to for a moment ponder your own faith heritage. Think of the people who guided you along the way. Maybe a family member. I very fondly remember a grandma who taught me how to pray. I didn't have believing parents. They were good standing citizens. They weren't evil people, but they weren't church-going people. But Oma taught me to pray. Think of your mentors. I'm reminded of a teacher in high school, one specific teacher. I grew up in the old Transvaal, and I had a Sesotho as one of my subjects, and Mr. Grobler was my Sesotho teacher. A man of faith, a man of courage. I remember him very, very fondly. Think of your dominies. I also remember Dr. Willie Marais, not related. He was my catechism master. He was the one that led me to Christ when I was in grade 11. He was the one that eventually facilitated my studies in the theology by facilitating a donor to pay for my studies. Who are your people? Remember to thank God for them. And even if you lack this family tree of faith, you are now adopted into a household of faith. We are a community of faith, children of Abraham. Yes, not by blood, not by human blood, but by godly blood through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when the going gets tough, remember their testimony in your lives. It strengthens us to keep walking. But beloved, even more important than the empowerment by heritage, we are also empowered by the Spirit, our passage teaches us. Paul urges Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is in him, in verse 6. And then he reminds us, God, the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, with love, with self-control. Verse 7. This Spirit isn't something external. This is an indwelling strength. He's living in us, says verse 14. He is the one that equips us with courage, with love, and wisdom. You know, when Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments, He said it all boils down to two: love for God, love for one another. We were speaking here before the service. That's also what the Old Testament says in Leviticus. You must love your neighbor. God is love. And God's love is room making, combining love. He cannot be without love. That's why at the end of the creation, He wanted to create somebody to relate to in a very special way. That's when He created man. And then He realized man cannot be alone. He must give him somebody to stand with him. And He created woman. In the Hebrew, there's a very close link. In Hebrew, man is Ish. He created Ish. And then He saw that's not the ultimate. Then He created Isha, woman. Because he is one that is looking for fellowship, love, courage, and self-control. Dear friends, your gifts. The gifts that you've been granted by God, they are not dormant. Maybe you feel helpless sometimes. Remember, the Spirit is within you. Your gifts are not dormant. They can be stirred. They can be rekindled. The Spirit is your internal compass and abiding companion. We are marching together on a royal mission. Royal, not in an earthly sense, but royal as in heavenly royalty. The destination is to be faithful to Christ, serving the kingdom of God. Paul, in this translation, says in verse 14, through the power of the Holy Spirit, keep the good things that have been entrusted to you. Keep the good things that have been entrusted to you. Do not let it slip. That is, another translation speaks of the good deposit that God gave you. That's our destination, to be warriors of the kingdom of God with courage and love and self-control. And the companions that join us on this journey is our heritage of faith, as well as the indwelling Spirit, as well as our community of faith, the body of Christ, where we worship. Together, we are strengthened for the hardships of discipleship. Discipleship is not easy, but we are being empowered for it. We don't do it of our own accord. Who is walking with you at the moment on your journey? Maybe even more important, who do you walk with on your journey? Can I ask it in another way? Who are you mentoring at the moment in the journey of Christ? Who are your proteges at the moment? And who is your mentor? For whom are you a protege? Whose faith are you nurturing, as Louise and Eunice did for Timothy? Do you realize that through engaging in a mentorship with a younger believer, you can actually lean into the Spirit-given courage, love, and discipline this week? Just for one moment, get out of your comfort zone. Trust the Lord to make a leap. That is what faith is. Remember, we do not journey alone. We have the witness of those before us. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And we have the fellowship of believers around us. Therefore, we can walk with courage. We can act with love. And we can mentor with wisdom towards Christ. Just get the order right. Be sure of your destination. Know where you are going. On the road of the kingdom. And then trust who goes with you. The Spirit and the communion of saints. May we hold to our heritage and the Holy Spirit. May we trust the witness of those who have come before us. And may we trust the power of the one who lives within us. Let's pray. Gracious and faithful God, we thank you that you've called us to follow Christ on the road of discipleship. We praise you for those who walked before us, parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, and the great cloud of witnesses whose lives bear testimony to your faithfulness. Their example reminds us that we never walk alone. We thank you too for the gift of your Holy Spirit, He who lives within us, rekindling courage when we are fearful, stirring up love when we grow weary, and granting wisdom when we feel uncertain. Through your Spirit, we are empowered to guard the good deposit of the gospel and to share it with grace and boldness. Lord, as we continue on this journey, keep our eyes fixed on Christ, our destination, and our companion. Surround us with fellow travelers and strengthen us with courage, love, and self-discipline, so that together we may be faithful witnesses to your kingdom. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us now honor God with our offering. Heavenly Father, you have provided for us, and therefore we are able to offer to you. This is an offering of thanks and gratitude for your love and your grace. May it be utilized as a beacon of light in the darkness of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to leave this place, I just remind you of the bulletin. The important things are on there. You have got it. The confirmation class and whatever yaps may be. What's that? Enlighten me. Youth. Youth adult Bible study. Young adult Bible study. Young adult Bible study. Yaps. Yeah. I keep learning. That's on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's Bible study. And the service at Johnson Road. There you have the birthdays and the anniversaries. John and Annemarie Shaw, the 7th. And today, is my own 46th anniversary. Let us, that's for my wife. She deserves it. To have suffered 46 years with me, she deserves a standing ovation. Hymn number 95, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Sons and daughters of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.